What's up, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, December 12th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Imran Khan, and joining me today is Mr. 30 Under 30, the man himself, Tim Giddies. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. This week, they announced the new 30 Under 30.
Did they?
And it made me then feel old. It's like, oh, well. I wish that I got it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I only had, 6 months of it being real? Because then all of a sudden it's like, so I'm 30 Under 30, but I'm over 30.
I mean, they can't take it away from you. So technically, by those rules, you will forever be under 30.
2019, 30 under 30. Yeah.
Yes.
They made me immortal, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
They had no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, that's how it works, man.
Shit, man. Yeah, I gotta give me one of those awards.
I was wondering what that weird purple stuff I had to drink was, but now I know. It's pretty cool. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just now thinking, like, what is the weather that I would be too pissed off to go out in the day? Like, because yesterday was a thing of, I'm not going to leave the house because it's raining.
Yeah.
Today, it's like, it's moderately cloudy.
I'm not going to leave the house because it's moderately cloudy.
Yes.
I'm not going to leave the house because it's sunny.
What is that sliding scale that's going to end up for me? Like, sometime in the future, it's like, it's a little too hot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother with it.
Live your life, man. You know?
Barrett, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
People are tweeting out this morning, Roger Craig Smith. Yes. And I had a glimmer of hope, like a little tiny bit of hope, the moment I saw his tweet.
That it was going to be Sonic Boom 2?
No.
That's what I was about to look up. Was he also a Sonic voice actor?
Oh, yeah, he is. I followed up because I retweeted it with, like, heavy breathing SpongeBob of him teasing something for Game Awards tonight. As some of you may know, he's the voice of Batman in Batman Arkham Origins specifically. So he has a working relationship with, or he has a relationship with WB Montreal. But then, like, literally 60 seconds later, I was like, fuck, he's in Apex Legends. They were doing Apex Legends
shit. He's in everything.
Yes.
I'm thinking about, like, other relevant shit that he'd be teasing. Like, they were, like, doing a whole meetup thing for Apex Legends yesterday, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's something with that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something Sonic. So, yeah.
Ben Schwartz, Roger Craig Smith, Jaleel White, all on stage together.
That would
Sonic
be dope.
Off.
Yeah.
Dude, big old. Long. See who can run the fastest.
See who can race across the stage.
Yeah. So I'm feeling all right. I've had my ups and downs. I'm going to put out my official kind of guessing for the Game Awards of announcements and winners and shit like that. And I will tell you right now, one of my predictions is that we're not getting a Batman reveal. So that's how I'm feeling.
You gotta keep stone hearted just in case so you don't get hurt.
It's my mind is telling me no. But my body is telling me maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's how I'm feeling.
One of my favorite days of the year, Imran.
Yeah.
Game Awards Day.
Last year, especially, like, I remember telling Jeff Keighley, like, this is basically E3 now. And that cut, like, from a news perspective, that's a lot of work. But also, it's great.
No, but, like, not to go off on too much of a tangent here, but, like, I have always been a fan of the Game Awards in its many iterations. I feel like that's only gotten more true, where I feel like they've cut a lot of the shit.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point that it's a really refined show. And, like, Jeff cares. Jeff listens. And Jeff's easy to make fun of. Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, I like that even he's hitting the point where he's in on it, you know? And it's like, so many kudos, so much credit to him for kind of becoming the face of this thing that you said it's like E3. It is, but it's also the only place we get announcements for every console together on one stage.
Yeah.
That's really rad. And that's something so special that you don't see in other industries. You don't see even in this industry. Like, tonight is a very special night that awards the nominees and, like, all the developers and stuff, but also is a great place to reveal your projects and stuff alongside other people revealing their projects. And it all feels like it's one big family working together.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's the only place, honestly, that you get, like, a bunch of Western announcements and Japanese announcements together with co-equal time.
Yeah.
And, like, that's usually not the case because most companies will target their stuff for a specific audience. This one, the audience is just, like, people who play video games.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, what, it's, like, 2-3 million viewers? There's a lot of people in that audience that you can just, like, start your marketing campaign for any given game on. Like, what was it? Last year had, like, the new, I forgot the No Man's Sky developer, Hello Games.
Yeah.
They had their new game last year. It's a, like, very cute little thing. If you were the people who just made No Man's Sky, you would probably, like, aim for something, like, a little bit more, you know, for a bigger kind of audience for that kind of thing, or, like, a more casual kind of audience. With the Game Awards, you can put that next to the Uncharted and the Last of Us and all
that. Mortal Kombat and the whatever, and you're fine.
Mortal Kombat was announced last year. That game came out already.
Yeah. Like that's so I love video man. Video games, man. Video games are cool. Speaking of, we are definitely doing a watch along tonight. Yeah. That's gonna be exciting. We'll all be here watch along with you. If I remember correctly, it is me, Andy Cortez, my man Imran Khan, and Snowbike Mike himself will be joining us, which is fun. But Jeff today tweeted out a video, a little hype video, and I want to watch it with you guys because you know me. I love the hype, and damn, this was great.
Give me a second to
go for it, B man.
Jeff is good at the hype.
He's so good.
Hold on, sorry, I'm dealing with OBS stuff. Everything's falling apart.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Remember, I'm really excited this year that it's only 2.5 hours. Like, I like them, but there was that one year it was like 4 hours long. Yeah. It's like, that's too much.
That is too much.
All right.
Are we supposed to be hearing it? I just love it, man. There's nothing I love more than strings backing text on a screen. Like, this reminds me of so many hype trailers I've made. And, like, Jeff just, he just got, and I love that he does it himself. Him and Kojima edit their trailers themselves because they care about it. And Reggie's back.
Not a Muppet.
They could bring the Reggie Muppet. That would be a good way. Do you know if that time is the pre-show or no?
No, I think that's the actual show.
Okay, are we going live for the pre-show?
Probably not.
We'll see. We'll figure it out later.
We may or may not.
Did we do that last year? I wasn't here.
Well, we'll look and we'll see what they did last year at the pre-show. I'm pretty sure the pre-show is nowadays where it's like all of the sponsored stuff. Anyways, sorry to interrupt your housekeeping there.
Speaking of other housekeeping, Kinda DC is doing a best friend meetup December 14th at 5 p.m. in Georgetown. Details, you can find them on twitter.com/KindaDC. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. And today we're brought to you by Manscaped, Brooklinen, and Quip. But Tim will tell you about that later.
It's my job.
For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We have four-ish stories today.
A baker's dozen.
First, we got like a smattering of Resident Evil news. I couldn't really pick which of these I wanted to do.
Good.
But I wanted to put all the Resident Evil stuff together.
I love that.
First of all, looks like Resident Evil 2 will get a secret Resident Evil 3 themed update. It's from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer. You may have escaped the clutches of Mr. X, but Resident Evil 2 looks set to call you back one last time.
One more ride.
A newly revealed Steam achievement for Capcom's excellent Resident Evil 2 remake suggests a little something is on the way to tease the upcoming Resident Evil 3. A couple of weeks ago, also, Star Wars is somehow involved in this update. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, Resident Evil fans spotted a secret achievement that had popped up on Resi 2's Steam achievement list. Today, it has been unmasked, and as many people suspected, is a cool link to Capcom's next game. If you've been hiding in a typewriter room for the past 24 hours, then you'll have missed the reveal of Capcom's promising-looking Resident Evil 3 remake yesterday. Its release date is set for April 3rd, 2020. Resi 3, of course, takes place over much of the same time frame as Resident Evil 2. Now, Capcom's set to offer up a new Easter egg, which links the two games together. It involves finding a letter left within Raccoon City by Jill Valentine, presumably during the portion of Resident Evil 3, which takes place 24 hours beforehand.
Love it.
So the actual trophy, I think I looked at it in the Uber on the way here. Somebody's already gotten it. They basically updated a letter in the game that shows, like, it's a letter from Jill to whoever in the police department.
Mm-hmm.
The screenshot I saw was in Spanish, so I did not understand it, what the actual letter said.
Uh-huh.
But basically, that's there now. However, they scraped the actual achievement image, which is what Rely on Horror and Rourke Keegan ended up finding, that they found the achievement image from Xbox, which is a full 1080p screenshot of what that image is. It's not a small icon like on Steam and PSN. Rourke Keegan says, out of curiosity, I went and looked through the Xbox One achievements to see if it had been added there as well. Not only had it been, but it carries a massive clue as to what this achievement could actually relate to. You see, unlike Steam or PS4, same big image things, wallpaper size, the Remake 3's Jill Valentine is talking to Remake 2's Robert Kendo. This isn't something they threw together either. This is a unique image that doesn't match to any cutscene in Remake 2. This is clearly standing out back of Kendo's gun shop
near Bob Kendo.
Near his little man cave shed or whatever it is. But this specific angle on him doesn't exist in Remake 2. It's also noticeably not raining, something that never lets up in Remake 2. On top of that, the wounds on Kendo's face appear much more recent and fresher than the scratches on his face in Remake 2 do.
Say Remake 2 one more time. I dare you.
Unless this is still from Remake 3, which would be cool, pretty cool if Jill ran into Kendo, this seems to suggest that the update will be way more than just dropping a document on her desk.
How are these games real? I don't understand it, man. I don't understand that we got a remake of Resident Evil 2 that was actually amazing. And on top of that, this is the same game that was announced by a dude wearing a t-shirt that says, "We do it."
Yes.
"We make it," or whatever, years ago. It was one of those things where for every single announcement show, whether it was E3 or whatever the fuck, TGS, we were all sitting there like, is RE2 going to be there? It'd be like, ha ha ha, you're funny. That game doesn't fucking exist. And then at E3, they're like, hey, bitches, it exists, and it looks dope, and it's a totally different type of game. And then it comes out months later, and it's good. Yeah. And then it's about to win a bunch of Game of the Year awards. And then we're getting Remake 3 so soon. And then they're like, hey, you know what? It's not soon enough. Let's bridge the gap. You know what I mean? Let's just keep it rolling right in.
Remake 3 is before Cyberpunk. It is before games that we already know are coming out when he found out about it the other day.
That's wild.
It's insane, man. I was looking at the 2020 in gaming Wikipedia for no specific reason, and it's insane how January and February are smaller scale. There's a lot going on, but it's a lot of the, like, you know, the Kingdom Hearts DLC, or it sounds like 10,000 versions of Persona games that I don't understand. And things like that. There's Ori the Will of the Wisps. There's Iron Man VR, right? Yeah. Those are kind of the biggest games of consequence.
The wheels are spinning up.
We're starting to go. Yeah. But then March, man, we get Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then they're just like, we ain't letting up, bitches. And you just keep on going through like June, but then the list just stops. And that's the scariest part about this, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what Nintendo's doing next year. We don't know when Watch Dogs Legion comes out. When's the last time you thought about that game, Barrett?
Never.
Right? But it's coming next year, on top of all these other things, which made me think, wait, there's so many third-party games we don't fucking know about that are coming next year.
Yeah, dude.
What's up?
Is there a Batman game next year?
Yeah. There probably will be.
Is there?
I would bet there's one, and I bet it comes pretty early in the year.
Pretty early in the year?
I would say that, like,
Imran knows things, man.
Because at that point, like, they're not going to risk rubbing up too close to the next generation.
Unless they do.
Unless they do, though. Because I feel like, it wasn't Arkham Origins, that came out within the last year of 360 and PS3, didn't it?
That seems about right.
I'll look up the timeline on that one. But do we get, even more in question, even more important than Batman, I feel like, right now, for me personally, do we get Breath of the Wild 2 next year?
Dude, I think we do.
I bet they're aiming for it. I agree. Like, to Nintendo, I bet that's the best counter-programming they could possibly have to new consoles.
I mean, can you fucking imagine if next year also has Breath of the Wild 2?
That'd be fucking
What the
wild,
hell
man.
Are we going to do for Game of the Year? Are we all just going to agree to disagree? You know what I mean?
Kind of like this year, you know, but for different reasons.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I was looking up what is actually coming out in March 2020 and April 2020 list. This is just notable games. This is not like every
game. Go for
it. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Nioh 2. By the way, those come out 10 days apart. Animal Crossing New Horizons, Doom 64, Doom Eternal, Bleeding Edge, that new Ninja Theory game, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, Half-Life Alyx comes out as well.
Oh my god.
April, Resident Evil 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Predator Hunting Grounds, which comes out on PC now, I've discovered.
Oh, cool.
Trials of Mana, Minecraft Dungeons are all April games. Then literally the next month, Marvel's Avengers, The Last of Us Part 2, and Wasteland comes out on consoles.
Oh, well, Wasteland. Still, it's crazy.
And then what happens, guys? Oh, E3, where they announce a bunch of more shit. And then we get new next generation consoles.
And you never know when Nintendo's just going to pull their weird... Like,
you never fucking know.
At this time last year, we didn't know about any of the game releases for this year. Like, period. Like, Mario Maker. Like, we knew about Fire Emblem. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, they were not
we
games.
We had no idea.
Yeah. It's insane. And we still have, there's still so much to look at or forward
to. I can't freaking wait, man. So many games to play. So many games to be announced. So many console generations to change.
Yeah.
2020, man.
I looked up the timeline here, Imran Khan. Arkham Origins came out October 25th, 2013, with the PS4 launching like three weeks later. So I don't think they really mind about that, especially if they look, because I feel like Arkham Origins was the game they put out of like, all right, this is what we're putting out for everybody just to like hold everybody off on Rocksteady's next game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I highly doubt that Rocksteady's next game is Batman related, but they might still be thinking about their relationship together in a similar way of like, all right, we're going to put out WB Montreal's game at the very end of this console cycle to hold everybody off on Rocksteady, who will probably be making a next-gen game, you know?
We also have Ghost of Tsushima next year.
We also have Halo Infinite next year.
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck is next year, guys?
I would not also be shocked if we got a new Mario title next year.
Fuck!
So you
can't do that to us, Imran!
It's a 35th anniversary. I know what they've got a couple of big things planned already. I'd be curious. I actually don't know what they are. I just know they have a couple of big things. I would not be shocked if one of them was a new mainline Mario title.
Fuck!
Let's get back to the news. I can't handle this.
I mean, we did talk about Remake 3 is coming in April. Mm-hmm. However, with Remake 3 is going to be the most important character introduction of the year.
Okay.
Of Capcom's newest character in Project Resistance, Martin Sandwich.
Hell yeah, man. What's Marty ass up to?
This is from Polygon by Michael McWhorter. Capcom's recently revealed Resident Evil 3 remake will include an asymmetrical multiplayer mode called Resident Evil Resistance, in which a team of four survivors must try to escape a deadly experiment overseen by an opposing player controlling a character known as Mastermind. Crucially, one of these survivors, Capcom has confirmed six of them so far, is named Martin Sandwich. Capcom revealed its important information on Twitter today. There's more to this story, but I'm not going to read it. I didn't even put it in here, because none of it's more important than the fact that his name is Martin Sandwich.
Martin Sandwich, dude. You know, that wasn't his birth name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard that. It was actually just like Martin Scoville. And then he was just like, I really dig sandwiches.
Yes.
And then it was a bigger process with the whole government shirt and all that stuff than he wanted it to be. But at the end of the day, he made a GoFundMe to actually get the money to be able to legally change his name.
Did you know judges can actually say like that name you want to change to is stupid and will not let you do it?
That didn't happen here.
That did not happen because Martin Sandwich is a fucking great name.
The judge was a big fan of sandwiches too. He lucked out that day.
If you had
He's really lucky Shirley wasn't the judge that day.
If like, let's say everyone's born without a last name. They decide their own last name as, like, when they decide what
like
they're
Han
super
Solo?
Into. Yes. What would your last name be?
What would my last name be?
What would your, like, I'm super into this thing?
Prime. And then I would change my first name from Timothy to Optimus.
Uh-huh.
Then my name would be
Tim Prime.
Optimus Prime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it'd still be Tim Prime. We'd still call you Tim.
Yeah. I want to change my name to Optimus one day.
Mm.
I think you could probably pull it off.
Yeah, I've looked into it, but then I stopped because it seemed hard and expensive. I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
I think you could raise the money for Optimus Prime really quickly.
Dude, I know. But you need to use your power for good. Power, responsibility, Spider-Man taught you a thing or two.
The GoFundMe image should be a picture of you and then a picture of Optimus Prime from the movie. Like the old-ass movie where he died.
Yeah.
Like, just to get, like, next to each other so people can
just
associate.
Just so they know that it means something. Yeah, during, I think it was Extra Life last year, we said that if we hit a certain number, we were going to try to legally change my brother's name to Cool Greg Geddes.
Yeah.
But then we realized, like, because of his felonies, you can't change your name. They're going to think he's trying to hide more than he actually is.
They have not revealed the last names of all the other characters. I really hope they're all named after really dumb lines in Resident Evil. Like, iconically dumb lines.
Yeah.
Or, like, moments or whatever.
Like
Veronica Rock Punch.
Veronica Locksmith.
Yeah.
You know? I'd be cool with that.
Or, like, Candace Bingo. Or, what? Yeah. Like, stuff like that.
Candace Bingo. I'd party with Candace
Bingo.
Candace Bingo
is a fantastic name, actually, that they should use for something in real life.
I'm in. I love it.
Martin Sandwich is officially our mascot now. Have you actually seen the picture? He looks like he's not happy about being named Martin Sandwich.
Oh, yeah. No, man, he's bummed.
But that one thing not to be bummed about is Bethesda's updating Doom 1 and 2 to include select mods like John Romero's Sigil. It's from Alyssa McAloon at Gamasutra. Doom co-creator John Romero's unofficial fifth episode for the original Doom released on PC as a free Megawad, which is a fantastic word, by the way. Megawad add-on called Sigil earlier this year is headed to the home console versions of the game via an official patch announced today during a Bethesda livestream. Sigil was announced the other day. Sigil itself was announced late last year as an unofficial spiritual successor to id Software's original Doom, though neither id Software nor Bethesda and id parent company ZeniMax were in any way affiliated with the mod's creation, making this official nod of support that much more interesting. Much like other Megawad mods, the PC version of Sigil requires a registered copy of the original Doom, a 1993 release, to play and was given away as a free add-on earlier this year. The Romero did sell collector's kits of art, the soundtrack, and a flash drive containing the mod around the first time it was announced. It also contained an original soundtrack by Buckethead. Sigil's console debut comes alongside two other mods, TNT Evolution and its Plutonia Experiment, that will feature in an add-on menu set to be
Evolution.
Evolution. It's so evil. Like, not spelled Evo. Evil, so you know it's bad. That will be released in an add-on menu set to be added to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch versions of Doom 1 and 2 at some point in the near future. So this is a really super cool thing. Like, they're making... I played through that original, like, the John Romero Sigil stuff. It's neat. It's, like, super cool. I had never in my life assumed for a second that Bethesda would be like, yeah, let's just put
let's
it to Doom.
Let's just make it real.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's Bethesda does weird things.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely being one of them. Cool.
Yeah.
But seems very bizarre, and I wonder who this is for necessarily. But hey, whoever it is, I'm sure they're very stoked.
I mean, they've been trying to like make good on that Doom port since they announced it, of like, yeah, this came out real bad. Like, I think it only just, like, part of this update is a 60 FPS update.
Wow.
Which is like, how was Doom not 60 FPS? Like, that's, how would you ever play that game that slowly?
Whew.
But it's really cool they're doing this. I saw a link on Twitter of like, oh, I found this really cool Doom mod that is somebody remade Castlevania 1 just in Doom.
Oh, that's cool.
How the fuck did they do that?
Really expertly.
Okay.
Because I started playing it. I was like, this is the exact level design of Castlevania 1.
Wow.
Just in a 3D environment.
3D, though.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And like, you have the whips, you have like the sub weapons, all that stuff. So like, that is super cool. And I kind of hope like they keep kind of going with this. Like, I know it's probably a much harder thing to put a Castlevania mod into Doom than it is to put John Romero's thing.
Yeah. Licensing.
But, yeah.
Cool, though.
Yeah. I don't think this would have ever happened to John Carmack. Still, it did, but.
Yeah.
I'm honestly so interested to see that like Doom TV show.
Is it Doom TV show?
Have you not like so? It's Masters of Doom. It's about the creation of Doom. And they have that one guy. I'm blanking on what he was in. Have you ever seen American Vandal?
Oh yeah.
He was one of the
main dude.
The main dude.
The guy with the long hair.
The guy with the long hair. He's playing John Romero.
Good man. Holy shit.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. They announced this at like a game thing, right? They announced this at their E3 conference, didn't they?
They either announced at E3 or QuakeCon.
It was one of those. Because I remember it being really weird of like, what? Why are they talking about this here and why now and stuff?
I think you're thinking of something different.
Really?
I think you're thinking of what I'm thinking.
The
Ubisoft thing that was like Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is what I'm thinking of.
The Apple TV.
I remember, it must have just been a headline I remember of someone being cast to play John Romero.
This was super recently, like a month ago.
Okay.
One of the biggest bummers of my life is that we're not going to get American Vandal Season 3.
I know! What the fuck? They canceled that series!
It's bullshit.
Like, it's so
There's
fucking
no
good.
There's no justice.
If you've not seen American Vandal, you should watch. It seems so crass at first. I was like, this seems dumb. Like, I'm not going to get into this.
It's brilliant.
It's one of the, like, surprisingly best acted things on Netflix.
Seriously. Did you watch Season 2?
Yes.
It's fucking fantastic. I mean, like, it's... Ugh. I want 3, man.
It's like an incredible character drama that's like set up as like against a haha people shit in this thing. Like, no, this is a great, like, I guess you call it a mockumentary.
Like, yeah,
utterly fantastic.
So fucking good.
Yeah. All right. Gonna throw in a required reading. This is GamesIndustry.biz is doing like a couple of like 2019 reviews, and they put up one today that somebody DM'd me about. But it's basically catalogs the entire Epic Game Store thing this entire last year of how that went from like, hey, we got some exclusive games like Hades to like straight up toxicity and harassment and death threats. And like, it does a fairly even-handed thing of, this is why people are pissed. This is where it went way too far.
Interesting.
So go on to GamesIndustry.biz. The headline is Epic's exclusivity push leads to ugliness. I recommend that. I recommend some of their other PR, like, 2019 reviews, like they have one about PR disasters, which is really good too.
And I got the link in the show notes for y'all if you want to.
Good job,
cool. Also, we're gonna end the news on a good positive note. Naughty Dog is donating Jack and Daxter proceeds to charity.
Naughty Dog being a good boy.
This is from Evan Wells, the head of Naughty Dog on PS Blog. This year, we're celebrating Naughty Dog's 35th anniversary, and as we look back at the games we've made, the Jak and Daxter series holds a special place in our history. From the original Jak and Daxter to Jak X Combat Racing, each game allowed us to try new ideas and evolve and grow as developers. Over the last year, we've been thrilled to team up with Limited Run Games to preserve the original classics as physical releases for the PS4. The response from Jak fans has been incredible, with collector's editions selling out within hours and standard editions selling within the first week. However, we wanted to use this opportunity to not only celebrate the Jak franchise, but to support causes we believe in. Today, I'm excited to announce that we will donate all money received by Naughty Dog from Limited Run Games' sale of Jak and Daxter, Jak 2, Jak 3, and Jak X Combat Racing to several incredible charitable organizations. And you list the organizations here: K9 for Warriors, dope. Child's Play, Surf Rider Foundation, LBGT Center of Los Angeles, Able Gamers, and Daggers, D-A-G-E-R-S. We're proud to lend our support to these groups advocating and advancing important work for accessibility, environmental conservation, veterans, and LGBTQ plus community and children's hospitals. This wouldn't be possible without you, our amazing fans, our partners at Sony Interactive Entertainment and Limited Run Games, who have championed and supported this vision from the beginning. So that is fantastic. They're not making any money off this.
Very cool.
We're donating all the charities.
It's interesting to me that they announced this after selling.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what the reasoning behind that is, because usually it's the type of thing that you'd want to get ahead of and be like, hey, all the proceeds go to charity as you're selling them to entice people even more to buy them.
Yeah.
You know? But whatever. Either way, they're doing it. That's cool. It's not like they didn't sell well. They sold out.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if it's just like a thing at some point they decided. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, like, there's no point in us having, like, this is cool for fans, but, like, this is not like such a huge, like, it's not operating income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good for them, man.
That's a good point.
Do you think they ever go back to Jak?
No.
Absolutely not. And I'm okay with that.
Uh-huh.
I was never a big Jak fan. I was a huge Crash fan, and I felt that Jak kind of took the platforming in a direction that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
I was a bigger
Mario guy than I was Donkey Kong 64 or Banjo guy.
Right.
Something about like the open world platforming just didn't do it for me.
And collecting things.
And Jak was kind of like too much in that direction for me. Like I loved how beautiful the game was. Like that was the first game that was like, there's no loading. Anywhere you see, you can go there. Like I remember the PlayStation Underground DVD that came with official PlayStation magazine. That like showed like a video interview about the making of Jak, and like they went through this whole tech demo of like doing the whole the vista over there. You can get on that mountain.
Yeah,
I'm like, I can't wait to get on that mountain.
Has every game with an open world-ish or like open thing said that line?
Yeah, but I feel like Jak was the first one.
I remember seeing it in a review for Ocarina of Time. I don't remember if it was ever part of the marketing.
That would be Jak. But I don't know, yeah.
Because I remember people being like, if you see that Death Mountain in the distance, you can actually straight up go there.
Well, the bigger thing with Jak, though, is that you can go there without loading.
Yes.
It's all one world, and then you can just go there. You don't need to hit a screen. So
right.
That was the big difference. But, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't really vibe with Jak. And, like, I feel like the PS2 generation was such a weird one for games. Like, when you look at, like, NES games, the sequels were always weird, and the third one would go back to being a bit more traditional, like with Castlevania, with Mario, with Zelda. I feel like PlayStation 2 had an era, generation, had a similar thing where you look at like Prince of Persia, where you go from Sands of Time, and then Warrior Within is just so much darker. And then the third one.
They kind of pulled it back.
Pulled it back a little bit. And the same thing kind of happened with Jak, where it's like 2 was like, we are Grand Theft Auto. And then 3 kind of brought it back a little bit, somewhere like met in the middle.
Yeah.
But those games were more fun and enjoyable, but they just never hit with me.
It was Grand Theft
Auto,
but
I feel like
Ratchet
at that point, like, had my interest.
Jak 2 was Grand Theft Auto, but in, like, a really weird way. Like, if you bumped another car, I forget what happened. Like, you'd be arrested or the car blew up or something weird like that. But it didn't quite have the... People at that time, or developers at that time, were like, well, Grand Theft Auto was so cool. We need to, like... This is where video games are going. And for the most part, they were right.
Yeah.
But they didn't quite grasp how to do it. So there was a weird era of, we're going to try some shit and see if it works out. And I think some of those experiments were good and some of them had to back off.
I feel like I never gave the Jak franchise a really fair shake. Mm-hmm. At some point, I should go back and play through them, see what I'm missing. Because I remember watching a YouTube video of the story and being like, that's some dope shit. I remember there's like a twist at the end of 3 that I was like, yeah, good hype, baby.
They're on... there are on PS4, right? You're wrong to tell us.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I mean, that's what the sales of this is going for.
I didn't know if that was ever like a... Okay, physical editions for the PS4. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Okay. But yeah, do you think Naughty Dog will ever make a game that's not humans again?
Potentially that. I don't know. I just can't imagine them not making just a giant AAA title.
Yeah.
But maybe they can just have a smaller game come out just as like a weird like side thing, you know? And at that point, like, Jack wouldn't be out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's enough demand for a
I'm just
Jack.
Curious. I'm like, is there anyone at Naughty Dog being like, we should just fucking go back to Bandicoots?
I mean, trust me, dude. I'd lose my freaking mind if Naughty Dog announced they're making a Crash Bandicoot game. That's the only hope at a new Crash Bandicoot game being good.
I mean, you say that hours before. There's a decent chance a new Crash Bandicoot game
will be
announced.
I'm extremely excited to see what it is, but the chances of it actually being good are fairly slim, I would say. But
yeah,
maybe not good, great.
Because they did add extra levels to those Crash remasters.
No, they just added unfinished levels.
Okay, so those are levels that were already like designed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we haven't seen really them stress their legs on that.
And like they really give a shit, and they made those ports excellent, but
that's different from making
a new game. So we'll see. I'm gonna keep my mind open.
Yeah. But the idea of a new Crash game, Tim, is so far
away. A couple hours, probably.
If I wanted to know what's coming to the mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. Pathologic 2, Part 1, is out on Xbox One. Genso, Sky Drift, is out on Switch and PC. Cardpocalypse, out on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Super Epic, The Entertainment War, is out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Jamestown Plus is out on Switch and PC. Detroit Become Human is out on PC. Winter Resort Simulator is out on PC. Parody is out on PC and Mac. Unlock the King 2 is out on PC and Mac. Yuletide Legends, Who Framed Santa Claus?
What did he do? Couldn't keep his hands out the cookie jar?
I would play a murder mystery that's like Santa did it. Like a Phoenix Wright-style game.
Yeah.
It's like... Santa's your job is to get Santa. I was gonna say get Santa off. Is to get an acquittal for Santa. I will play that game and like, what would be the twist in that game? Who would be the actual murderer who's setting up Santa?
Jack Frost.
Oh yeah, Jack Frost.
Tim Allen.
He wants his job back. Tired of the war on Christmas. All right, let's see this game. Oh, Cat Lady, the card game, is out on PC.
Meow.
Beat School DJ Simulator out on PC and Mac, and Pivot is out on PC, so let's pivot to this Cat Lady video.
Those are all cat-related things, Imran.
Is this?
There's tuna, there's milk, there's yarn.
Is this like a...
It's not memory.
Oh, the way it was like set up for a second, I thought it was... Gwent, but for cats.
Neont. Meount.
Meount.
Yeah, what is this game?
I don't know. I don't like it. Get it away from my eyes.
I like how this trailer is just not explaining anything. It's just like a short video of gameplay.
It is what it is.
New dates. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition has been pushed from January 2020 to a more vague summer 2020. The game will release on PS4, Switch, iOS, and Android with crossplay and cross-save across all versions.
Cross.
I like that game on GameCube.
I didn't.
I never finished it. I always heard like the best part of that game was like the last stage.
Oh, yeah.
I just never got there.
See, I was an anti-teen. Uh-huh. And I was like, give me my Final Fantasy X stuff, man. If I don't get Tidus, if I don't see no Lederhosen, I don't want anything to do with these little dudes.
I'm eager to now like see, because now with this game would be terrible without crossplay.
Mm-hmm.
Cross save is interesting because like I don't see anyone buying more than one version of this game, but
true.
I would love to be able to play this with people who own it on Switch and I guess even iOS and Android.
I want them to just re-release Four Swords Adventures.
Yes,
but
hell
make
yes.
It, like just playable.
Like they released that Pac-Man game on Switch, the Pac-Man versus,
which is awesome.
Yeah, like why not bring the other like the tentpole of the GBA, the weird-ass GBA experiment on GameCube of Four Swords Adventures.
God, they experimented with such weird shit, man.
Yeah.
Remember the e-reader?
Oh, yeah.
That was a big thing on Game Boy
Advance.
You
had to scan, like, 10 cards to get a new Mario 3 level.
But there was a new Mario 3 level.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And they're good levels, too.
Yeah. Now you don't need that. Now you can just scan a QR code.
Yeah.
And not that you can't, because I'm on Switch. Or, like, you log into a download or whatever. Ease Memories of Celcida, coming to West to PS4 in spring 2020. It's a PS4 version of a well-loved Vita game with 60 FPS, HD graphics, dual audio, and new controls to replace the Vita touchscreen mechanics. Deal of the day! There's more TGA sales. So there's sales on the games that are nominated for the Game Awards. Mostly like Death Stranding is obviously not on sale. But like a lot of other stuff, like Control and Outer Worlds and things like that.
Katana Zero is like $9. Yeah, play that game.
Play Katana Zero. There's on PSN, XBL, and Epic Games. I don't know if there's a Steam sale for it. There's probably like a loose sale for it, because those games are probably also on sale on Steam. But like you can find those games on sale if you want to buy them today. It's also time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. But speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by...
many people. Before we get to that, though, I have a question. What's your shirt?
I'm wearing a Ryu Hayabusa shirt.
Yeah, you are. I was in between it. I was like, is that Ninja Gaiden or is it Messenger or something? Because it does just look like a generic ninja. It doesn't really scream Ryu to me.
I wonder why you're wearing that. I'm holding out some hope.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
Holding out for a hero?
I'm holding out some hope.
Smash Bros. Yeah. We're getting the DLC tonight.
We got a question about all this.
Okay, we'll get to that later, because now it is time for some ads. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooke Linen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care. You spend one-third of your life in your sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? I know I do, and that's why I use Brooke Linen. I use it. Greg uses it. Who could you trust more than these two gentlemen? Lucky for you, Brooke Linen celebrating their days of gifting with daily promotions on different items. Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brooke Linen's got over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. Greg uses Brooke Linen sheets. He loves them. I use Brooke Linen sheets. I love them. They're super easy to order, super easy to match. Ton of different color combinations. You can go in, mix and match your duvets to your sheets, to your pillowcases, all the other things that have names that I don't really understand. But it's easy to understand because you just go there, you look. You don't need to know the names. You just see the pictures, Barrett. I know you like pictures.
I do.
They move beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathrooms like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched ultra-soft loungewear. This holiday season is likely your mission to make you and your loved ones comfortable as well, so why not give them the gift of softness and give the gift of Brooke Linen? Right now, Brooke Linen .com is having their days of gifting where each day they have a promotion on different surprise item. Brooke Linen is so confident in their product that all of their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get access to Brooke Linen's days of gifting event and free shipping is to go to brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. And if you're just hearing this and it's after the holiday season, you can still use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com for 10% off and free shipping anytime. Brooke Linen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Next up, Quip. We all love Quip. I use Quip. Greg uses Quip. Nick uses Quip. Kevin uses Quip. What is it? Quip, 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 Quip. Barrett?
I use Quip.
Also uses Quip. That's why Quip is the perfect, thoughtful, and practical gift with an electric toothbrush, reliable floss, and toothpaste, all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations and a timer with 30-second pulses to guide your routine, and the Quip floss dispenser has pre-marked strings so you always use the right amount. They just think of everything here. Join over 3 million happy customers and check everyone off your gift list right now with Quip. Go to getquip.com/games to save on gift sets and to get your first refill free with a refill plan. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. getquip.com/games. Finally, shout out to Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes, they need to be a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. My balls are looking good. Greg's balls are looking better, all thanks to the Lawnmower 2.0. It has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. And let me tell you, Imran, you don't want your balls to chafe.
Absolutely not.
That does not feel good. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keep your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking, and the products smell good, which matters a lot for people that are going to be down there. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. You can get 20% off with free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping. Use the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
Really quick, before we move on, we've got some breaking news. This comes from Reset Era. Nanobiologist sent this in.
They added crossplay to Mortal Kombat 11 in a patch and didn't announce it. They just added crossplay. It's the thing says version 1.1.3 or 1.13, add crossplay, general bug fixes, gameplay updates.
It's a different time, man.
Isn't it? Like, I guess it's not a big deal anymore.
We're all in this together.
Like, it's literally just not a big deal anymore, which is a weird thing, because, like,
once you break the wall down, it's fucking over. Like, I'll never forget Greg Miller coming back from E3, just being, or from Judges Week, and being like, Tim, come here. And he, like, closed the door. He's like, you're not going to believe what Modern Warfare is doing. Like, they just did a presentation, and then we walked in a room, and there was PS4 controllers and Xbox controllers, and we could just play together.
Yeah. I remember that.
That's fucking crazy.
Because, like, they said it at the thing of, like, and yeah, this year we're going to have full crossplay. I'm like, no, you're fucking not. Like,
and they did.
Yeah.
They did. And now here it is, Mortal Kombat.
I imagine this was supposed to be a thing for tonight of, like.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, so this, I think, wasn't supposed to go up when it did.
I'm staying off Reset Era for the rest of the day.
We still got our own predictions to make. Five Star Man writes in and says, hey, Tim and Imran. The Game Awards are tonight, and I'm hyped, mostly for the new trailers and reveals we are going to get. What do you expect to see get announced? Also, since we have the King of Hype on the show today, what is something, even as unlikely as it would be, that would get you the most hyped to see? So let's start with the first question. What do you think is going to happen? Because Jeff came out today and said that some things people expect are going to be there are not going to be there. Who knows what that'll be, because we've all thought everything under the sun, from Batman to Elden Ring to his new Smash character, will be there. But what do you expect, realistically?
That statement makes me feel like he's talking about Breath of the Wild 2.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But also, dude, Jeff is...
That statement makes me think about Batman.
Like, he's really good about, like, doing the whole, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah.
And, like, saying vague things like that, so that if the hype thing does happen, it's still hype. You don't want to deflate hype ever.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah,
of
it was
hype.
Very out of character for him. So I was wondering if he was setting expectations for something or...
I don't think so, man. Like, this show's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, when you look at the last couple of years, like, this is a place you announce things big. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think that we're going to get some bangers tonight. I do feel like we're going to see Crash Bandicoot, and I'm extremely excited for that. What would blow my mind is Crash and Smash. Like, that, there's no announcement that could ever happen that would be more in the Venn diagram of Tim's interest than that.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm just, this is a weird Game Awards for me where I'm going in and I'm just like, there's nothing that I'll be let down by. Like, I know we're going to get some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what it is. Whether it's Metroid or Breath of the Wild, whatever Nintendo does, I'm excited to see it. Even if it's as, quote-unquote, little as just a new DLC character for Smash.
I
would be shocked if I'm disappointed by someone they choose at this point. Because if it's Ryu, fuck yeah, that's awesome. He belongs in the game. If it's Crash, you guys won't ever see me again.
If it's Crash, I'm moving all the water off the table. The second that trailer starts.
So we'll see, you know? But I'm very excited to see what we get tonight, because I think we're going to get some really cool, shocking reveals.
But what, like, theoretically, if you could do any, like, dream announcement,
I mean,
is it still Crash and Smash, or?
Yeah, because, like, that's the thing, is, like, we're just at a point with video games that, like, I'm running out of things to ask for. The Year of Dreams turned into Year of Dreams 2, Year of Dreams 3, Decade of Dreams. It's like, what the fuck's happening next,
man? Decades of Dreams.
Like, we just got Resident Evil 3 remake announced. Like,
mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm just like, I don't even want to ask for anything. Just show me the money.
Honestly, like, I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm not sure what I would ask. Like, I know it wouldn't happen here, but a Mario Odyssey, like a new Mario.
A new Mario? Yes. Seeing Metroid Prime in any form, whether it's the trilogy or, like, actually Metroid Prime 4. You know what? You know what actually would, like, get me fucking extremely hyped would be a 2D Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, cool. A new 2D Metroid.
I mean, the end of, Samus Returns totally teased one.
Yeah.
Like, they showed, like, not even a, like, remake again, but a sequel to Metroid Fusion.
I want.
I'd be totally down. Like, they've got to be working on something. What else is Mercury Steam doing? They've not put out any of the games in the year since Samus Returns.
Yeah.
I think they gave up on the MMORPG they were working on, or whatever kind of
whatever
game
it was. Yeah.
But people do have other expectations, and there has been a bingo card floating around.
There is. Can you bring it up, please?
Yeah, I can.
Cameron Kennedy, the man, the myth, the legend, made this bingo sheet. We're going to play along with this, which is fun. Some of these, less expected than others. But we got The Rock has a message.
I can see that, especially because it's attached to Jumanji 2.
Yosef Fares says, I swear.
He's probably going to be there. He was teasing motion capturing on his Twitter recently.
Kojima hugs Jeff.
Yep.
Jeff hugs Kojima.
A hug will happen between them. A Stadia trailer. Stadia itself or a trailer containing Stadia?
I could see, like, we'll definitely see the Stadia logo on some things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we'll see a trailer, like, from... Because that doesn't seem Google's beat. Like, I don't think they go for this audience.
I mean, they should.
They should, yes.
Everyone should be there.
Maybe they're rethinking things quite a bit over the last couple of weeks.
Someone says the word meme.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Batman game trailer.
Nope.
We'll see.
Maybe.
There's another one on here that I think is more likely than the Batman game trailer.
I think that a Batman game trailer, I would say it's likely.
When I saw the tweet this morning, Tim, I was at like 50-50. I was like, it's going to be 50-50, yes or no. And then the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm thinking like it's 10% yes and 90% no.
I understand the history of how they've announced Batman games does not line up with this, but in 2019, the Game Awards is where you announce a Batman game, I think. But
yeah.
I wouldn't be so, if they don't, I'd be like, all right, I get it. Dragon Age? No.
No, too early. Like, they had the teaser last year.
Tony Hawk? No.
I don't think a game.
I
just Tony Hawk just, being there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hydrobot fight someone. Wait,
speaking of Tony Hawk, breaking news that Megan Fox from the Showcase alumni for Skatebird.
Gotcha.
She has announced that the Skatebird has a free demo on Steam right now.
Yes.
As part of the Game Awards Festival. So if you want to try that super cute game, her name is Megan Fox.
Interesting.
It's always been very confusing for me because Reb also works with like Art has done interviews with her. She's like, oh, I got to make it a Fox interview. I'm like,
you got to talk about the seminal lady? Classic Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen. Blitzchung shout out.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think somebody will do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if they name him. I think someone will at least like talk about that, like bring up that situation.
Yeah, they will call out like companies that aren't doing the right thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Award speech becomes political, met with cheering.
Which is exactly.
I think those will be tied together.
Yeah.
Smash character announced. Yes. I was like a little bit back and forth, but I think that it's happening.
I think it either has to happen here or it has to happen like a very early January direct.
Which I don't think we're getting. I think we're getting a February direct. So because of that, I think it has to be.
It has to be out by February.
People get angry in chat. It's a free space.
Yeah.
they try to trick us.
I don't know what that means.
So last year they tricked us with Mortal Kombat.
Oh, where,
They played
it's like
the trailer,
nominees are...
And then it, like, cut away, and then Mortal Kombat came up.
Okay, okay.
They did it last year, so I don't see him doing it again, but, yeah, I'm saying no.
Depends on, like, I always figured Ed Boon was like, this is the way I want to show this thing.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
Avengers character announced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah, it's right.
Who would you say?
That's the place. I don't know. Let's see. Who's...
Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spider-Man would be great for this, actually.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. There you go. Put on the books. A dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think a dog will be on stage?
People did that at E3 and it worked out fantastically.
Yeah. I'm going to say we don't see a physical dog.
Okay.
Might be a dog in a video or something, but I want a dog in the audience.
Get Paul Bernthal back
dog
out there.
On stage.
I was actually once told.
Dog that, in the building is what I'm saying.
I was actually once told that the Paul. His name is Bernthal, right?
Yeah.
That.
John Bernthal.
John Bernthal. I keep calling him Paul for some reason.
Bernthal. Bernthal.
The Walking Dead guy.
Sure. Yeah.
That when he came out to Ubisoft's thing.
I'm going to tell you, son.
He was not supposed to bring. Like, the whole thing with the dog wasn't supposed to. He just had the dog backstage. Then, like, maybe 5 minutes before, he's like, can I take the dog out there?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Sure. Do it.
Pooch-a-rooney. A Doug Bowser joke.
Yeah.
Nintendo loves that joke.
They do. They really fucking do.
Was that E3, right? Where it was like a extended.
Yeah.
Like it was like a 2-minute joke of like Bowser just being on screen.
Gotta
and apparently
love it.
That was like for the Japanese version of the Direct. They wanted to explain the joke in subtitles because his name's just Koopa there.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. That's really funny. Harry Potter game announced.
This is the thing I think is more likely.
I think it's also likely.
I think it's pretty likely.
I don't think it's going to be both, but like.
No, I think it's one. And that's why I think like the Batman game trailer is like a 90-10 split for me. The Harry Potter game announced, I would say, is like a 60-40 for me. 40% likely, 60% not likely, you know? No.
A movie actor is uninterested.
I mean, Mads and Reedus are for sure going to be there.
I don't think they'll be uninterested. I feel like Jeff's gotten much better about having people there that want to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Though there is sometimes when like people who do want to be there but just don't know how to act interested.
Yeah.
Like the Russo brothers last year.
Yeah.
Super exciting they were there.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed like they were dead tired.
Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
A Zelda game trailer.
I'm 50-50.
I'm 50-50 too. Yeah.
There's been more Game of the Awards with Breath of the Wild than there's been without them.
It's true.
It's a very good point.
Like there was that Miyamoto and Onuma one. There's one with Bill and Nate. Were there. There's the DLC one. So they've been... Breath of the Wild has been there a while. Nintendo likes to put that game there because I guess it's an audience match for it.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves shows face.
Yep.
I think Jeff for sure tried to get him.
Yep.
I don't know if he
I definitely... Like, there was an attempt, undeniably.
Yes.
Statistic used to legitimize games is a thing.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like last year, X number of million people watched and like celebrated the game industry.
Some food-related deal.
We already know about the Subway Eat Fresh Game of the Year.
Yeah.
That's another free space.
Metroid-related thing.
I'm putting that 70-30.
Ooh.
Like, not toward it, against it.
Oh, okay.
I could reasonably see a Metroid Prime 4 trailer, because I think that game is far long enough for a trailer. Maybe not like a full, like, we just cut this together last night kind of thing, but like a...
I hope so. I will be so fucking hyped if we see Metroid Prime. Because if we see it, that means it's probably next year. Like, this is just fucking stupid dream talk of dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if next year we got Metroid Prime 4, Breath of the Wild 2, and a Mario game?
I mean, that was basically 2017.
I know.
Like,
I know. But imagine if Nintendo did it again, and they did it next year. If you need to refer to the beginning of this episode where we lost our minds about 2020. Imagine if they also did that.
Like, all that stuff plus Animal Crossing, that's a ton of stuff. And like, I know they've said they're not working on Splatoon 3 yet. I think they're working on Splatoon 3 because they ended Splatfest. That's usually when they start making those next games.
Oh man. Death Stranding wins most awards.
I don't know. I saw an argument from somebody yesterday saying like, it may not, like there were divisive reviews, but the reviewers aren't the only ones choosing the game awards. There's a like audience weight. There's like... People, outlets in general, there are people who are made up of people who like Death Stranding, but didn't necessarily review that game.
Wins the most awards, I could see happening, because I don't see many other games nominated in too many categories that I think that they're going to win. Whereas Death Stranding, I think, could sneak away with it.
Yeah, it crosses a lot of categories.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't personally fully see it sweeping, but maybe that's just my own bias for other games. But I would... bet it wins like I'd say it winning best soundtrack because like Jeff Bridges is performing.
Yeah.
Like that's usually the case when they get the performers, they know that's usually a lock.
We'll see.
Yeah. I'm curious. It did win IGN's like, what do you call it? The Player's Choice Award, which makes me think it's going to have some real sway in.
Yeah. 10% of the vote.
All right. Greg from Edmonton writes in and says, good morning, Tim Rom. This is the first year since 2005 that I haven't played any of the nominees for Game of the Year from the Game Awards Spike Video Game Awards. I knew it wasn't a great year for video games, but realizing that I was willing to wait for every single game on that list to go on sale before playing them showed me just how bad of a year it was. Do you think this could be the worst year for video games for the 21st century so far? There haven't been any standout games this year compared to the previous years for me, at least. Keep up the great work. No. I disagree with that premise completely.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, I think it was a great year for video games. I don't think it was the best year of all time for video games like we've been getting the last
couple of years. Honestly, I think 2014 was worse than this year.
2014.
That was Bayonetta 2, Shadow of Mordor, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's... anybody that's saying that, like, this wasn't a great year, I feel, I mean, it hasn't played enough of the games.
Yeah.
And you're saying this here, Greg. I highly recommend you give some of these games a shot.
It's totally okay for none of those games to appeal to you. Because, like, I could easily see a situation where, like, Control, Outer Worlds, Death Stranding, Smash Brothers, all of those are, like, none of these are my jam. I want a, like, AAA single player, like, a Red Dead Redemption, God of War. Like, if you play mostly those games, this year probably isn't great. On the other hand, like, if you play, if you have a, I don't want to say wider range, but, like, a more open thing to games in general. Like, if you did look at Fire Emblem and go, yeah, I give that a shot, you probably ended up really loving that game. If you, like, you gave Disco Elysium or games like that a shot, then there's a decent chance you end up really liking it, too.
Yeah.
I don't... You made a tweet the other day. I'm trying to remember what the wording on that was.
I was just saying that it's the most interesting Game of the Year discussion we've ever had, where it's the first time there's not frontrunners. Like,
right.
It's not, like, usually I would say there's three frontrunners a year where you're like, it's either this, this, or this. And even then, it's usually between this or this. And the third one's more like, well, if they split the vote, this one's going to win, right? Like, I think of, like, you know, Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, Horizon.
Right.
Right. Where it's like Horizon was, like, in the conversation for sure, but, like, everyone knew it was going to be either Breath of the Wild or Odyssey, you know? But it's like the last year, clearly it was Red Dead or God of War. Like, this year, I think, is so interesting where it's like you can talk to anybody and they have an amazing argument for why their game of the year is should be a game of the year. And you're like, huh, cool.
Yeah.
I totally buy it. It's like talking to people at IGN, GameSpot, to people here. It's like everybody seems to be on a different page. And I totally understand where they're coming from because it's not just like a personal thing of like, oh, I like this better than that. It's like, no, here's why this is the game of the year. And it's like, fuck, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to someone else, it's a totally different game. Equal reasoning.
I think we have a tendency as a community to think of Game of the Year as the game with the least flaws, and I think that's a boring way to look at it. I think Game of the Year should be the game with the that spoke to you most personally. So if it is like Control or whatever game it was, like if your Game of the Year was Kind Words, I can totally accept that. That is a totally reasonable thing. I remember last year at the Game Informer Game of the Year meeting, by the time I walked into the meeting, well, I figuratively walked in because I phoned in, but by the time that happened, it was like literally my boss came and looked at me and was like, so is it God of War or Red Dead? I'm like, for me, neither. Like, for me, it is Monster Hunter World because that was the game I spent the most amount of time playing this year.
Yeah.
But between those two, I chose God of War because that was what the argument was about at that time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, though, is I feel like your own personal Game of the Year is one thing, but when you're talking like as an outlet and when you're talking about as a what is the actual game of the year, it's not a personal thing. I think at that point it becomes a what is the game that has the most positive conversation around it and that is going to be looked back on in years as the game that best represents that year,
right?
You know, and I feel like that's what makes this year a bit interesting, where I wonder in 10 years if we're going to talk about any of these games the same way we talk about Red Dead or God of War or Breath of the Wild. I think the answer is no, but I don't think that that's a bad thing. It's just not every game could be the best game ever made.
On the other hand, like, we're the only industry that treats that award like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you talk about Oscars, they have a best picture and a best director and all that stuff. We don't necessarily think of that as the... We look at that, and then for that night, we say, oh, they got it right or they got it wrong, and usually we say they got it wrong. But for the most part, we don't say, hey, do you remember 2019? That was totally defined by, God, what's going to win this year?
Well, I think the difference there, though, is that everybody understands that the Oscars is the only one that matters.
Uh-huh.
Whereas with video games, the Game Awards aren't the end-all, be-all. It's the Game Awards and IGN and Game Informer and GameSpot. And everybody looks at each one of those with their own bias of which one they trust the most.
Right.
Right? So, like, that's why you don't see best picture editions of movies come out for 10 different movies a year, but you get Game of the Year editions from any game that even came out that year.
Yeah, it never. I remember Borderlands got a Game of the Year edition. I looked up like what outlet gave Borderlands Game of the Year, and none of them did.
Yeah.
So like, you could just put it on there. Like, who cares?
There's a lot of differences there.
Do you think there should be a consensus like argument?
No, that's my thing. Is like, I feel that video games are just different than. Like, I don't understand the, like, vitriol and hate that I see towards the game awards, the award side of Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a positive thing. They're trying their best. They're making changes every year to try to adjust to, like, make it make more sense. You can't please everybody. There's going to be 50% of the people watching like, oh my God, they're announcing more games instead of showing every damn award. Then there's going to be other people that are like, stop showing awards. No one cares. It's like, it's an impossible premise to fix the quote unquote problem of what the Game Awards is. I think it's an important thing. I think that the amount of pomp and circumstance put into it, and on top of that, the amount of thought and care put into the nomination process and how things happen and the transparency of it all being on the website of how things happen, it's still going to lead to people, anytime Death Stranding wins an award, snarky ass motherfuckers being like, oh, it's because Jeff loves Kojima. And it's just like, no, that's not how this works. And you're just being ignorant because you want to push some agenda of the Game Awards being dumb.
I will say, like, we talked about this a bit on Gamescast last week, but the way the awards are created is it emphasizes the need to play certain games, and usually those will get more nominated because everyone in LA has played a certain thing, which is why, like, some games get up there because that's where the conversation is. My dream for these kinds of awards is to not even do it that year. Do it the next year, like, let's say June, the next year, when everyone has had some time to play those games and have been like, okay, actually, maybe everybody played Death Stranding, but everybody liked Fire Emblem or Disco Elysium, or those are the games I'm picking out because those are on my list. But like, or Sekiro or whatever, a lot more. Like,
but see, those awards happen. Like, that's the DICE Awards. That's the all the other awards.
But
that
nobody
I
pays
don't
attention
know and
to
I
those.
Don't watch because they don't announce games there. Right. It's like people watch this because they announce games, right? It's like, it's just such a different product. And like, I feel like if anything, Game of the Year and Best Game of the Year could be different things. And like, in that sense, when you add the word best, that's when you start talking about the more like where Fire Emblem can win. Whereas Fire Emblem, I'm sorry, it's not Game of the Year. It's just, that's just not how it works because not enough people played it. That needs to be part of the conversation. Game of the Year is like...
I think that's a very like... weird take because like so many people were fucking talking about that game,
right?
And so many,
but more
still,
people played Fire Emblem than they played Control.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, cool.
But I'm not like, this is not me standing for Fire Emblem specifically.
It
is,
I mean,
like,
I fucking love
it.
Fire
just
Emblem.
I don't like the amount of people played it argument, and that's the way it works. I agree with
but
you.
But I mean, that's the thing, man. It's like, it's popularity. At the end of the day, it's like that has to be factored into what Game of the Year is. It just does. Same thing with it. That's how it works with any type of award, where it's just like, the more people that have an opinion on a thing, if it's good, give it a better chance of winning the thing of the best thing of the year, right? It's simple math there.
And like, I agree with you. That's the way it works. I always wish, and I, like, that's why I like doing with an outlet. I like that we have those debates about Game of the Year, and I like that we can make them public so people can see,
that's
one,
awesome,
how we do it, and two, how bullshit the entire process is.
I mean, this thing is, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Like, the conversation matters. And what does matter is that Fire Emblem's being brought up, more people are going to play Fire Emblem that would never give it a chance and be like, damn, that was my Game of the Year. Good.
Right.
Cool. They're going to buy the next one. Fire Emblem's a fantastic franchise. Control, a good example. Support new IPs. You know, like, but they need to be part of the conversation for that. Control winning IGN's Game of the Year means so much.
Yes. And people got very pissed because,
of course,
like, they were making actually a very similar argument of like, the Game of the Year needs to be X amount of, like, whatever metric of popularity you want to use. Like, nobody's heard of Control. And I've kind of been like wondering why people are so pissed about this specifically. Like, why does. And I think people get offended at the idea that a game can be Game of the Year that they dismissed or did not like really pay much attention to.
Yeah, and the problem is there's no, it's not like one group, the other group. It's always just many people with many voices, yes, with many opinions. But the fact of the matter is, if there was a God of War this year, it would be Game of the Year.
Right.
Right. If, and I use God of War just in the sense of a game that was bigger than Control. Control would have had no shot. But this year didn't have that, which allowed Control to get IGN's Game of the Year. A very prestigious thing that's going to mean many, many, many more people pay attention to Control. That's valuable. That's awesome. But that only happened because it's this year.
I mean, I agree. But I do think, like, I love the idea of the underdog game winning Game of the Year. And it so rarely happens. So I would love, like, if, let's say, in a alternate universe, Control came out last year, exactly the same kind of game, like, all the same things. Do you think it would have stood a chance against any Red Dead Redemption or God of War?
No, it simply wouldn't. And that's why, going back to the question here from Greg, this is a great year for games. So many great games are able to be in the Game of the Year conversation and deserve being in the Game of the Year conversation.
I was looking up when A Link Between Worlds came out. It was 2013. I don't remember exactly what came out that year, but I remember it being pretty good. That was the PS4 launch year, so that was like Mario or 3D World and all that. Like, yeah. a decent number of games came out that year. That mm-hmm. And I think it was Last of Us year as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
The Last of Us also came out that year. GameSpot gave A Link Between Worlds their Game of the Year that year. I remember thinking, holy shit, that's brave.
Yeah.
Because that is not the kind of game that wins Game of the Year. And I love that idea. I'm not actually choosing my Game of the Year based on that. But I think if at the end of the day, what you enjoy, or the game you enjoyed most is what you chose, because we talked about it a little bit, I'm forgetting something you said, but you mentioned this is a Game of the Year kind of game. And the Game of the Year kind of games we always look at are either first person, whatever, or third person action. That's the only kinds we ever pick.
I mean, I don't know, man. To me, Journey was a Game of the Year. When you play, you're like, holy shit, this game is fantastic.
We get rare
it does
exceptions.
Something different, and it got a bunch of Game of the Year wins, yes. Right? Both from IGN and I think it was Game Awards too, right? Yeah, Game Awards gave it to Journey. But then it's like Last of Us came out, and it's like I feel like boiling that game down to just being like, oh, it's just a third-person action game is like a disservice to the fact that it is. It was the game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just was.
I mean,
Link Between Worlds is fantastic. It's not Last of Us. And Last of Us did something.
But 2013 wasn't only just the Last of Us year, guys. It was Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Like, there were a lot of options. And I think if the... I respect the hell out of the decision to go against the grain. But also, I think if a game is the game... Like, if it is legitimately the game you enjoy the most... That should be what you choose.
Yeah.
Like, if the question is, what is the game doing new, then Mario Odyssey wouldn't have been a part of the conversation in 2017. Because it was just we took Mario 64 and we made it better.
I disagree with that. I feel like it was like the amount of, they combined the Mario gameplay and Banjo gameplay and made both better and more fun. Like, they made Collect-A-Thon fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I think, major accomplishment.
I disagree a little about that. Like I kind of think that they put too many moons in that game, but also you're not supposed to ever get all the moons. Like, whoever does that is a crazy person.
Brian Altano.
Yes. Brian Altano is a crazy person. But I also think, we shouldn't measure solely by impact. It should be... We're talking in circles.
No, dude, I'm with you that it shouldn't solely be on impact, but I think to not count impact is... It's not favorite game of the year.
Right.
It's just not.
But I think it should be. And I think that should be how we define Game of the Year.
But I love that there are multiple outlets. There is not one deciding outlet or award show that is like, this is the Game of the Year.
Right.
It's a bunch of shit that doesn't actually matter that just helps to sell games more. And like, that's sell great games more. That's awesome. That GameSpot gave Link to the Past the award. That IGN just gave Control. It's like, cool. Those things are always going to happen next to... The Last of Us.
I would like to see a world where Return of the Obra Dinn beats games like God of War and Red Dead Redemption. Because Game of the Year is...
And I think that if that game resonated on the level it needed to, it could have. Look at Journey.
Right.
You know? It's possible and it can happen, but there needs to be a swell of impact around it that brings it to that level.
It also needs to be backed by a major publisher to do that, which is also part of a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm going to skip one of these questions. And
I don't agree with that.
We got to be back here in a couple of hours. Anyway, but Nanobiologist writes in, hey guys, the holidays are coming up, so what is your fondest holiday memories? Is there a special game you tie to the season? Are there any holiday-specific treats you tie to gaming while on winter break? Thanks, the merry Nanobiologist. I'm trying to think. Cider. Like, apples, like, a spice cider or whatever. For whatever reason, I just tie that completely to gaming during winter.
I'm a fan of cider.
Yeah.
Just in general.
And like hot chocolate too.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. My not so much treats or anything, but like games that I tie to the holidays. Like when I really think about like Christmas time and video games, it was the GameCube coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like what, November like 15th or some shit. And then Melee didn't come out until December 3rd for some weird reason.
Right.
Like it got delayed like 2 weeks after launch when it was supposed to be a launch title. And I remember buying my GameCube on the launch day, and it was a Christmas present. So my mom then wrapped the GameCube and put it in the closet to like keep it away from me. I didn't have a game anyway, but I remember sneaking in and opening it and holding the GameCube controller pretending I was playing Smash Brothers and having to wait for it to come out. And then eventually December 3rd getting it, and the whole month of December having to unwrap and play when she was gone, and then rewrap the fucking thing until Christmas. It was a disaster.
Was she able to tell? Or did
Okay. I got caught constantly and kept getting in trouble, but I'm like, motherfucker, it's Melee.
Yeah. Hide it better.
I don't know who this Roy motherfucker is. I need to learn more. I need to get educated on Fire Emblem so one day it can win Game of the Year.
I remember like reading Japanese sites when I was like, God, how old would I have been then? It would have been like 14, 15. But like reading Japanese websites that just had screenshots of the game, like, there's no way this game looks that good. Like, yeah. This looks way too good for a video game.
I love Smash Brothers.
Time to squad up. This is from Vitz Patel. Or is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You got it.
Vitz Patel. Oi, Governor. Just looking to put the squad up for an amazing artist in the community, Nerf Alice. And wants you to find them on Twitter. One of the best artists I know, at Nerf Alice on Twitter, would love to have 1,000 followers. Would love if the best friends could help her get to this number to showcase more of her art. She's super kind and amazing in the community, handing out her art at the Kinda Funny London World Tour.
Nerf Alice is the greatest of all time. Definitely go follow her. She's awesome. Her art's fantastic. Very valued member of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As are you, Vitz.
Yeah, at Nerf, NERF, Alice, A-L-I-C-E, one word. All right, we're going to check you're wrong, or people have been telling us what we got wrong throughout the show.
It's impossible. We didn't get anything wrong.
Yeah, that was that crossplay thing that Barrett showed us for Nanobiologist. Mortal Kombat usually has an announcement during TGAs. Yeah, we already corrected or thought about that. Yeah.
Oh, Nanobiologist says missed out today. Forza Horizon 4 is the Eliminator Battle Royale mode.
Oh, yeah,
is
I
out.
Saw that last night. It just came
it
out
looks
nowhere.
Fucking awesome.
It's just like a destruction
derby. It's
like
twisted metal destruction derby, but just with Forza cars, and yeah. It's battle royale.
Do you get weapons, or is it like?
No, it looked like you just kind of bounce into each other.
Okay, that's still cool. That is destruction derby, which is for some reason on the PlayStation Classic. And that's
it.
That looks like everything we have to do. Remember, we got the Game Awards watch later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if we're doing the pre-show yet, but probably not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
So we'll
Twitter.com/kindoffunnybids.
But we're at least for sure going to be live at 5:30 Pacific to talk over the Game Awards and see who got stuff right.
I'm excited, man. It's going to be a good one.
We should put some bets on it. And tomorrow, we're hosting... Snowback Mike is joining us tonight for the GDAs.
Yes.
I am hosting tomorrow with him.
Yes, you are.
And then next week, I didn't write it down, but I believe it's... I need to double look, actually.
It's a surprise.
Yeah, okay, it's a surprise. We're not going to talk about it?
I don't know. It's not really a surprise, but...
All right.
I don't know the answer.
Oh, yeah. It's Greg and Matt from Cinzaru on Monday.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, that'll be it for today. Guys, thank you for coming. We'll see you in a couple of hours for the VGAs, but stay tuned.
Yep. Bye.